no sense.
Welcome to the holiday episode of Dead FM. From all of us at Dead Gentlemen Productions, we want to wish you some joy this holiday season.
That's right, Don. And to do that, we've put together a show that ought to warm your pants. Or hearts, or heart pants. We're aiming for your joy spot.
Tunes and stories and a little holiday zen should have just what you need. Maybe grab a loved one and a glass of your favorite holiday cheer and kick back.
So what do we have first?
Why, a little ditty written by Jimmy McMichael and performed by the lovely Emily Rommel Shimkus with Stephen K. Donnelly on the ukulele.
No shit.
Well, let's give it a whirl.
Post-Sasquatch-suit hetzo is the thing to say on an orcish blood feast holiday. That's the greenskin greeting that we send to you as we sharpen knives to slay. Humies flee in terror and we track their flight. We'll mangle all the corpses and drink ale all night. Post-Sasquatch-suit hetzo is the orcish way to satisfy the blood gods each year. Post-Sasquatch-suit hetzo is the phrase we bay as we ferret out our prey. Pink flesh is no camouflage against the trees. They'll be dead by end of day. Soon the orcs will slumber through the winter nights. Until then we'll eat and run, drink and fight. Post-Sasquatch-suit hetzo is the orcish way to satisfy the blood gods, those greedy gore-caked blood gods, the bloody, 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 bloody blood gods each year.
Well, it wouldn't be the holidays if we didn't have a little holiday story time.
Here's our resident Yuletide professor, Kentucky Blue Clay, with a special message.
Sorry about that, folks. Kentucky Blue Clay here. And as much as I'd like to be out impulse buying and season greeting, it looks like Santa brought your favorite anachronistic archaeologist a stocking full of cold this year. must have been a typo on the naughty list. But KBC's not one to let a capsid load of rogue DNA get in the way of his narrative duties. I've just about OD'd on cold meds. The good meth precursor stuff behind the counter. And come I was sailing once again to tell the tale of the aforementioned fat man in the red coat. Well, actually, he wasn't fat, and no red coat, either. The real St. Nicholas was more of a thin, swarthy guy in priestly vestments with a real left-up schnoz. Yeah, Nicky was a bit of a scrapper. Dude was always just itching to get into a fistfight. That part gets left out of the stories for some reason. Probably because parents aren't going to let their kid sit on a guy's lap if there's a chance he might cold cock him for tugging on his beard. But this isn't a story about St. Nicholas's life. This is about what happened after he died. Uh-oh. Spoiler warning, I guess. Sorry, kids. Santa's dead. Merry Christmas. So, in December of the year 343, St. Nick kicks it, and he's buried in the town of Myra, which these days is in southern Turkey. Over the years, his grave becomes a sort of pilgrimage spot. Tourists coming to pray at the grave of this objectively pretty decent guy. But in 1087, a bunch of Italian sailors decide they're tired of making the commute. They dig up St. Nick's bones under the pretense of, quote, rescuing them from the Turks, hightail it out of Myra, and haul the canonized corpse back to Italy. Hang on a sec. Have you ever tried wasail? Oh man, so good. It's like a hot, cinnamony, alcoholic apple juice. Really smooths a sore throat. Can't get enough of this stuff. Anyway, where was I? Right. So, they set the saint up in his new digs in the town of Bari. Built a nice little shrine for him at the church so people can come and pay reverence to the holy relics. But here's where the story gets weird. Because St. Nicholas's bones start leaking. This weird, oily liquid oozing out of his reliquary for no apparent reason. So obviously someone tries drinking it, because that's what you do when a mystery liquid starts pouring out of a saint's bones. And lo and behold, their various maladies start clearing up. Hallelujah! Let's all get a big slurp out of that saint sauce. Look, I get the draw of a miraculous cure-all, but come on. I recently coughed up something the relative color, volume, and consistency of a plate of Eggs Benedict. But that doesn't mean I'm ready to toss back a shot of Santa's bone juice. Side note, that's not normal, right? The egg thing? I may actually be dying here. But even if that's the case, that's still no excuse for downing this particular Christmassy corpse cocktail. Oh, yeah. Okay. Here's the thing, though. This wasn't just an old-timey event. This is still happening. It's thinned out a bit over the years, becoming more watery, but to this day, you can head to the Basilica di San Nicola and buy a vial of Old Saint Nick's bone broth from the church gift shop, which I assume is located between the church food court and the church tilt-a-whirl. So, next time you're feeling a little under the weather and happen to be near the heel of Italy's boot, maybe try downing a shot of St. Nicholas's miraculous skeleton soup. Who knows? That might just be the cure for what ails you. Me? I'm gonna stick with the Sudafed. Speaking of which, I think this stuff's finally kicking in. Roundhouse kicking in. Ah, also there was just this stupid amount of brandy in that wassail. And I don't think it's playing nice with the cold meds. Oops. Better drag my drowsy ass to bed till I still can. Happy holidays, everybody. All of them. Need to get all the holidays out of the way because there's a solid chance I'm not waking up for a few months.
Until next year.
This is KBC saying Merry Christmas to all and to all a...
And now, 60 Seconds of Zen with Scott C. Brown. Listen, my friends, you have the power within you to make things happen. To make good things happen. Just listen to these affirmations every day, each month. And enlightenment, tranquility, and inner peace will be at your command.
In the chaos that is the holiday season, it is good to remember to breathe. Have patience. Give grace. And realize it will all go away very, very soon.
And that was 60 Seconds of Zen with Scott C. Brown, brought to you by the good folks at Two Bards. Namaste.
Jesus, I needed that.
Well, it's the reason for the season, ain't it?
If you say so.
Well, it's time to bring back that apocalyptic Christmassy time classic.
Here's Emily Rommel Shimkus again, singing a duet with her manly husband, Matt Shimkus. And good old Ben Dobbin tickling the ivories.
You need to quit that.
Go to hell.
Oh.
I really can't stay.
The baby bear's dead outside.
I've got to go away.
The virus has spread worldwide.
This evening has
been the corpses all rose
so
again.
Very nice.
Attacking people left and right.
My mother will start to worry.
Those dead black eyes filled with
My
fury.
My father will be pacing the floor.
I've never seen such hunger before.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Now pick up that pistol.
Well, maybe just have a drink.
Cover
more.
Me well, I board up the door.
Neighbors might
the
think.
Neighbor's been dead for weeks.
Say, what's in this
He's
drink?
One of those undead freaks.
I wish I knew
he
how.
He tries to get in,
kablow. To break this spell.
I'll send his dead ass straight to hell.
I ought to say no, no, no,
Quiet,
sir.
They're getting closer.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
Get into the basement and hide.
I can't
I'll
stay.
Find an escape route.
Baby, there's dead outside. Simply must
I
go.
I can't let you go, my dear.
The answer is
There's
no.
There's rations and ammo here.
This welcome has
We're safer
been
just staying
so
in.
Nice and warm.
And if they see us, they'll start to swarm.
My sister will be suspicious.
I don't want to seem
my
malicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Your family wasn't ready for
my
war.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
And human flesh is nutritious.
But maybe just a cigarette
The more. Resurrected anthropovores.
I got to get home.
It's the end of days.
Say. Lend me your comb.
The world has been set ablaze.
You've really been grand.
They spread out across
but
the land.
Don't you see?
We're all that's left, just you and me.
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Assuming there is tomorrow.
At least there will be plenty implied.
You're dead the second you step outside.
I really can't
We're
stay.
Mankind's last holdout.
Baby, there's dead outside.
Baby, there's dead outside.
On a lonely old mountain, tall, barren, and steep, is a cave in which Krampus, the Christmas beast, sleeps. For 35 years, and a score or so more, he hasn't set foot outside his front door. Modern children don't need him, or so he was told, and he was content to hibernate in the cold. Every day of those years he slumbered away, rising only from habit each Christmas Eve day. And this year, like every, the 24th came. But something, felt Krampus, just wasn't the same. He wasn't sure what, but sensed something amiss. So he put on a kettle and poured the Swiss miss. He stretched his tired bones, and he wiggled his tail. And he thought he should probably go check his mail. His horns he held high, and his hooves clipped and clopped. To the end of the driveway where they suddenly stopped. His mailbox was full, 12 feet tall was it stacked, with letters and coupons exclaiming, "Now you must act!" It was all mostly junk, a few summons to jury, a catalogue or 2,000, the ink all now blurry. But a single black envelope caught his keen eye. Something about this one felt quite awry. A solemn and downbeat yet elegant script adorned the envelope he presently ripped. The news that it brought put a lump in his throat. He'd never again see those black boots and red coat. Santa was dead of Kringle's disease, brought on by cookies, milk, and bad knees. Below the bad news there were detailed proceedings, but in his sad state, the Krampus had stopped reading. He went back inside and he sipped from his cup, as feelings he didn't know he could feel filled him up. Finally and suddenly, without a speck of derision, the mighty old Krampus had made a decision.
I've lain dormant for ages alone in my cave, as still as a corpse in a box in a grave. I've slept through 2 Bushes, Clinton Reagan and Carter, Ford Nixon, LBJ, and Hoover's silk garters. Why, I've been asleep for so many years, I've grown a great beard and long hairs in my ears. But the state of this world, its current condition, will no longer abide my slumbered position. So up I must get, and out I must go.
Then the old Krampus bounded out into the snow.
He shook heavy chains. He waved his great sack. He crooked a great crookedy crook on his back. With Santa Claus dead and rotting away, Krampus knew only he could save Christmas Day. His sled was deep green, with a candy red bonnet, well polished and kept with a chrome Krampus upon it. Four pipes rose from the left side, and four from the right, which bellowed and belched orange flames in the night. Though it hadn't been started in near 60 years, the sled roared to life, the hum tickling his ears. The Krampus was back and knew what he must do. With a harumph he jumped into his sled and he flew. He pointed it west toward the sullen sun setting. Off he went to get gotten things he ought to get getting. 3 sprigs of birch to make 3 swift stiff switches, to switch unruly children on their stitched woolen breeches. "I can't bring back Santa," the dire beast lamented, "but I can do the one thing the old elf resented. I can punish the bad so that they may know good, scare them and snare them and beat them with wood. I can show them the wages of a life of bad deeds, with clanking chains, snatching sacks, and a claw full of reeds. They'll learn to fear evil and to walk the path true. Ah, who am I kidding? I just like what I do."
And with that, the old Krampus went out all that night and gave kids the world over the gift of good fright. When he finished in the morning, to his mountain returned, and thought on the things that last night he had learned. Peace on earth was not something the world had achieved, nor goodwill toward man, and that made him peeved. He knew that his job was nowhere near done. In fact, in his teachings, he'd only begun. He was renewed with new senses of vim and of vigor, and he decided that next year he'd plan something bigger. So beware, all you leaders causing strife and unrest. Old Krampus is back. All your sins he'll address. And you kids who are naughty till the elf on the shelf is brought out, and only then do you behave your bad self. I have news. Are you ready? Old Krampus is watching. And it's not just some coal you'll get in your stocking. He'll scare you or snare you or beat you with wood. And you'll wish to the heavens that you had been good. So unless your bad ways are immediately stopped, it's Krampus you'll be seeing on next Krampus Knocked.
That's sure to be a holiday classic, wouldn't you say, Don?
Got to, Scott. Got to.
Well, we sure appreciate everyone joining us for this holiday special. Hope we've tickled your ears, and maybe you've tickled something else.
Whatever your traditions are around these days, hope you go out and do something to make someone else's day. It's a time to be a better human. Volunteer at the homeless shelter, send a hefty gift card to a relative in need, or whatever it is that you feel like the world around you could use from you. Why not lend a hand?
Or a finger.
Really?
Some people just need a finger.
Jesus.
Krampus.
Whatever.
We'd like to thank everyone involved for making this episode happen. In alphabetical order, we have Scott C. Brown, Ben Dobbins, Stephen K. Donnelly, Andy Dolporowski, Don Early, Brian Lewis, Jimmy McMichael, Emily Rommel-Shimkus, and Matt Shimkus. If you'd like to check out more about Stephen K. Donnelly's music, he's with 10 Volt Audio at 10volt.com.